This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. It's time to step up to the plate with Jim, Steve, Fish, and former two-time Gold Glover World Series champion, Benji Molina.
A swing and a miss, and that's the winner! That's the winner! A World Series winner for the Cardinals!
Ranger, that is! In the left field, December 3000, a run is scored!
Smith courts one into right down the line. It may go! Go crazy, folks! Go crazy!
A high pop ball! The Clover's there! The Cardinals won the pennant! The Cardinals won the pennant! The Cardinals won the pennant!
Breeze hits it in the air to center. We will see you tomorrow night.
Swing and a miss! The Cardinals are world champions for 2006.
In the air to left, well hit. Back is Craig. What a team. What a ride. The Cardinals are world champs in 2011.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Two Birds on a Bad edition of Bow Ties and Bullshit, where analytics meet the eye test, coming to you as always from the patio studios, the original party place for St. Louis Cardinal fans everywhere, both pre and post game. Make sure you spend a little time over at patios and enjoy a few cocktails responsibly, of course. I hate to say that I don't know how responsible I was, although I didn't drive, so I guess that does make me responsible. So had quite a few there on that last homestand and had a great time at patios. It's been my go-to place since the day they opened. It's always been good to me. So I encourage you as well to check it out, especially if you're coming in town. For all of our listeners that don't live around here and you're looking for pre or post game activity, make sure you check it out. It's awesome. Love patios. And as always, special thanks to our good friend, Randy Green, with his innovativecompanies.com, their staff, their crew, awesome people. Absolutely love everything that they do when they go out and meet somebody. I've been there. I happened to be with him one time, meeting a new prospective customer, and the way he walked him through the process, you could tell how sure they were of what he was doing was real, and it wasn't fake. It wasn't, you know, he wasn't getting a line. So I always say that that's important, and that's why, you know, we try to have some sort of relationship with the people that we work with on this show. I've been fortunate to call him a friend, but when it does come to business, he's got 35 years experience. He's a second generation craftsman. Whether it's residential, commercial, or industrial, the name you can know and trust is Randy Green with innovativecompanies.com. Well, folks, you know, things are going pretty well for the St. Louis Cardinals. I got to say that, you know, every blue moon we don't do the show. Schedules don't permit or whatever. Last week, I went to the baseball game, so we didn't do the show. You know, I call that research, right? So that's a reason not to do it. But I know the fans really enjoy this different take, so I'm excited, as always, to do this show. A couple weeks ago, it was at least two, I think, the last time we did this, Mo's algorithm said something that was pretty bold and pretty straightforward. Now, some people may have thought he was crazy. Some people may have not. What you guys don't know is that typically the way this works is each week I will send a confirmation text to the guys and say, hey, you know, your normal slot, here's the topic this week. So I'm sitting there looking at the topic for this week yesterday of how do I want to approach this. I'm watching the Cardinal game, and it dawns on me that the topic probably should be, is Mo's algorithm the smartest guy on the planet? But I thought, I can't do that. So I decided today that something that went through my head watching the game yesterday especially was, is it time for Matt Carpenter to take a seat again for a few games? I can't. And I started thinking to myself, I can't remember. Did he sit for like a weekend series? Was it a whole week? I don't remember what it was. I'm hoping one of the guys remembers exactly what it was, or maybe one of the listeners. But I believe last year, one of the things that happened was after he started off so poorly is I think he sat down for like a week and took a mental break or whatever you want to call it. So I'm wondering, does he need to do that again? Because as far as the team goes, it seems like we're doing pretty well with a struggling Matt Carpenter. So I guess the topic of today's show being, should Matt Carpenter, I'll go with this. Should Matt Carpenter take a seat again for a little while? while also acknowledging that Mo's algorithm might be the smartest guy on the planet, because I believe a couple of weeks ago when things were looking a little dicey, he said, look, let's just get out of Milwaukee. I think we're better than this. I just think this opening schedule has not been good for us. So here we are. We sit at first place, basically, give or take the best record in the National League, one of the tops in the league. Guys, maybe he is smart. And since Kyle Reese, who is our normal leadoff guy, is on jury duty, I got to go to a different leadoff hitter today. And so isn't it fitting that we're talking about, does Carp need to take a break from the leadoff role? I'm going to give Kyle a break from the leadoff role and bring in who may be the smartest guy on the planet, Mo's algorithm. What's going on, buddy?
Hey, Jim, how are you doing?
Well, I'm doing okay. The question is, how are you doing? And I've seen you mention once or twice on Twitter that you told everybody we just had to get more, what was the word you used? Get more in a routine. Routine. Yeah. Normal routine. How about that? Normal.
Yep. And to get out of Miller Park, Coors North, I guess you could say.
Well, I will say this. I understood where you were going, but there's that feeling of, well, you got to play them though, right? Like other people are coming in there and playing them and all this kind of stuff. So if you play them at their place and they're better than you at their place, that is that still an issue? I mean, if you can't play in parks like that, you're going to play in them eventually. But I guess that's why you play 162 games.
Well, yeah, that and like you don't normally see a team that many times in the first, you know, week, 2-3 weeks of the season. Like, I mean, they played 10 times against each other over the first 3 weeks of the season. That's poor scheduling on behalf of Major League Baseball. Because where I think it really hurts is like, I think, and this goes off on another tangent, but like, they play for 6 months. You should just play everyone. You play them like 18 or 19 times. Just play a series every month. Like that way you're playing different versions of the same team throughout the season. And one team isn't getting an advantage over the other because they're playing, you know, the Reds 11 times in September when they're awful, you know, as opposed to out of the gate when they're maybe playing with something to play for. That's where I struggle with the Major League schedule and how they do it. Is it just doesn't seem very balanced.
Yeah, it's an interesting thing. I got, I have some thoughts on that part of it, but because I've said it 100 times over, Coors Field, the interesting thing about Coors Field is it's not a small field. It's a big field. But that's why it's not just the home runs there. It's the averages that are inflated because the field is so big.
Yeah.
And Miller Park's completely different. I mean, we're seeing balls hit out of there that are outs in other parks. So, you know, that's always been an interesting thing to me. And I wonder, I mean, have you had any chance to look at anything that would lead you to believe that some of the balls that were hit out of there may not have been home runs in other parks? I don't even know if you've done that. And I also think this too, the way the ball carries there, I don't know that there's anything that can really even tell you that sometimes other than the distance that it traveled. But I've always been under the impression that the ball travels there better than anywhere else too.
Yeah, I have not looked into any of that, but I do just from a visual perspective and watching games there, the ball jumps there. It really does. And that place is known for the home run barrage. And, you know, Coors Field, yes, they get a lot of home runs, but there's a lot of doubles and triples at Coors Field because of the gaps and the science behind Coors Field. Because the air is thinner, the ball doesn't break as much when guys are pitching. So it's easier to hit there because it's just not as complicated as somewhere where the ball is going to break more and it's tougher to pick it up. So there's some science behind Coors Field as to why it gives up more runs. I would love to know if there's any sort of science. Typically, domes are actually an advantage to the pitcher. You see that in like Tampa Bay and even Houston. Houston, as small as it is a pitcher's park. So I would love to know the science behind Miller Park. Is there some sort of air carrying in there that causes that ball to jump like that? I don't know. But, it's odd for a dome to be such a hitter's haven.
Yeah, it is odd. I would love to know. I mean, this is the science part of it that I find interesting, right? Like somebody eventually will come up with something to say this is why, right? Right.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
Because, you know, now what I do think is funny is that over time, and you have myths and legends and conspiracy theories, I mean, you find out later on down the road that there were little things that were going on in certain parks where when you were younger, you saw things happen and you're like, man, I don't get it, right? Like, yep. You know, like the whole Metrodome thing. Remember that? Like, you know, oh, the guy was turning the vent thing on when someone, you know, just weird stuff like that, right? So you wonder what it could be. I don't have an answer. But what I do know is my eyes don't lie to me. I mean, I've seen balls hit there. Like, I've seen normal players hit balls there that look like balls Mark McGwire hit. Okay? That's my point on the whole thing. I mean, I saw Jonathan LaCroix hit one out of there one time that I guarantee you was 500 feet. Come on, give me a break.
Yeah.
So that's kind of where I was going with it. So, but anyway, the Cardinals have quote unquote righted the ship, right? They've done so without Matt Carpenter. Your thoughts on Carp to this point, and I guess we can kind of begin the conversation of what's the answer? And is that answer, do you need another mental break, Carp?
My short answer is no. I think you let him play through it, because what I'm looking at in the in his sabermetrics and then how we look at stuff beyond the box score is he's doing fine. He's getting unlucky, and I know we've had this conversation before, and people freak out. Yes, he struck out four times last night, but his strikeout rate for the year is only at 24.8%. I mean, last year he was at 23.3%, and he was an MVP candidate. So, like, that's not an alarming statistic. Like, I think people get stuck on certain things because they feel like it's like becomes a narrative. And so they cling to it. But he's not striking out really any more than he did in his MVP caliber season last year. And he's actually walking more. His walk rate's up to 16%. Last year's at 15.1. So those numbers don't scare me. His BABIP, his average on balls in play, is at 254, which would be significantly a career low. Not even close. Last year was at 291. Now, he doesn't have a lot of speed, but the league average is still 300 for guys without speed, and his career BABIP is 315. That's going to climb. And then you look at his where he's hitting the ball and how hard he's hitting it. He's at a career low soft hit rate of 5.4%. His medium hit rate is higher than it's ever been at 55.4, but he's at about 40% hard hit rate. That's really good. That's higher than his career average. So none of these numbers stand out to me in terms of any significant decline or any issues. His line drive rate is at a career high at 27.8%. His ground ball rate's at a career low of 20.8%. His fly ball rate's a little inflated, but his home run to fly ball rate is only at 8.1%, which is down 11% from last year, which we were going to see a correction. Because he's not a 30 home run guy. He's just not. Last year was a bit of a mirage. It was great to see, but he's more of that 20 to 22 homer kind of guy. Like, he got lucky on some of those home runs. But his career rate is at 11.4. So he's down 3-4% on his home run to fly ball rate, which tells you that some of these fly balls he's hitting eventually should correct themselves and start leaving the yard. Nothing he's doing, his pull rates, his going opposite field, all looks great. I think you just let him play through it, because that's the tough part of baseball, is sometimes you just struggle for unknown reasons. Sometimes it's luck, and I'm not concerned at all with Matt Carpenter.
Yeah, you bring up the K's, and I think you're right. I think sometimes that stuff comes across as a narrative that fits somebody's argument, and they do it. I mean, if I was going to tell you, if I was going to pick one guy on the team that, and I know he strikes out, I mean, typically guys that hit with power do strike out. The one guy whose strikeouts have surprised me is Goldschmidt. And it's not the strikeouts, it's how he's striking out. I mean, I've seen him strike out on numerous pitches that are really hittable, which really freaks me out about him, because he's such a good hitter. I mean, you know, yeah, the average isn't where you would expect Paul Goldschmidt's to be. It's way higher than it was at this time last year. But I got to tell you, I've watched Paul Goldschmidt play a long time now, not as every day as I am now, right? He really, to be such a good hitter, you wouldn't imagine that a guy would swing and miss at so many 94-mile-an-hour fastballs, kind of in the heart of the plate. It just leads itself to believe that I think we have to understand sometimes that there's a game within the game. And because it looks like a hittable pitch to me on TV, the pitcher's also doing something to them and their mindset at the plate. We talk about how important Yadi is to that, right? So the other teams are doing it too, right? Like they're throwing pitches that they normally don't pitch in count, so they're not predictable, and they're pitching backwards in count. That day, this pitch is working, blah, blah, blah. You know, just crazy. I don't know.
Yeah. I was just reviewing Goldschmidt, and man, you want to talk about somewhat unlucky there. His strikeout rate's at 25.8. Last year it was at 25.1. So it's up a tick, like a tick. That's it. Walk rate's down a little bit, but I warned everyone of that when we traded for him, that his strikeout rate and walk rate were heading in opposite directions. So this slight little, like, he is declining. He is. He's still going to be a great player for the next few years, but he's declining. It's been evident since 2015. So none of this is surprising. I'm not alarmed by anything. He's hitting the ball harder than he ever has at 52.4%. I mean, to have a 52.4% hard hit rate and only have a BABIP of 288 is pretty insane. So nothing he's doing is alarming. Anything that I do see is typical of someone who is declining. And I think he is. But for him to decline compared to like some other players, it's absolutely different because he's coming down from a high of MVP caliber player, one of the best in baseball. So he's still going to be very good for the next few years before we notice a steep decline. I don't see anything with Goldschmidt that's overly concerning. And like you said, sometimes, you know, he guesses wrong on a pitch or he thinks something else is coming and it doesn't come and he swings and misses on the fastball. You know, that's all timing. That's all, typical hitting approach. But with him, it's also, he's in a new place. He's still adjusting and probably takes some time. I'm sure if we all started a new job in the first month, our performance isn't going to be the same as it will be 6 months from now. So I know it's the same type of job, but it's definitely not the same atmosphere or culture or anything like that. So I'm not concerned with either one of these guys. And I know that it's not my usual hot take city, but that's where I'm at with them.
Well, I just, for me, like I said, I'm looking at a team that I think I thought we were going to be better. I did. I had said originally, like I said, I mean, I still asked the question. Nobody could answer me if Matheny was so bad and Goldschmidt was a whatever he was and you add an Andrew Miller, then how do we not win 105 games, right?
So wait, you mean better than what they are right now or better from last year?
Better from last year. I thought we were going to be better, right? Like, you have to describe better, right? Like, I think people would try to figure that part out, if that makes sense. Like, what's better? Like, where are the real issues? You know, what happens here?
I don't think better always means win. Honestly, I think they've, even in games they haven't won this year, I feel like they're playing better baseball. So that's just my quick take on that.
Say that again. I don't think I understood what you said.
I don't think when you say that they were going to be better this year as opposed to last, that doesn't always, to me, it doesn't translate to just more wins.
Right.
It means like playing better baseball. Like, yeah, they're still going to lose games, but in those games they've lost, they're still playing better than they did last year in losses. Like, that's what I've viewed.
Yeah. And, you know, I had said earlier in the season, and I mean, it's not like it's still kind of early, right? Like, when you looked at us after the first, I think it was like 10 games or something, I was sitting there going, man, I'm sitting there trying to figure out how we were like 500 or right there, right? And I had completely forgot about the two games in Pittsburgh because they were kind of like, man, I'm not quite sure we should have won those games. You know, there were some weird things going on, it felt like at first. So that all did kind of tie into your theory of let's get into normal type baseball, right? So I would say this. If you can be where you're at right now and you're not getting, let's face it, you're not getting Carpenter to where you think Carpenter is, right? I would say even though Goldschmidt has the home runs and that, he's had some at-bats where I'm like, there's no way this is the guy, right? Now, on the flip side, you've got some guys that are doing unbelievably well, right? So there's going to be a natural regression there. Like, listen, you can say whatever you want to say about Dexter Fowler. Not one thing pointed to me wanting him to be our starting right fielder this year. The reality of it is he is. He might be the starting center fielder.
I was going to say, talking about right field, did any of us see him in center field this month?
Well, so here's the deal with that. Now, while I'm also willing to say, well, he's obviously way better than I thought he would be, you've also got to sit here and go, he's not this good.
Sure.
Is he?
No.
Okay. So my point is, when all is said and done, if you get out of him what you expect, which is, you know, what do you really want out of him? 270, 360, right? Those are the two numbers that matter the most from Dexter Fowler. Sure, you'd like to have somewhere between 11 and 15 home runs. If you got 10 at least, you'd probably be happy. But the numbers that matter the most probably coming out of Dexter Fowler is 270 and 360, I think. Everything else that comes with it is a bonus. So right now you're doing really well, and part of the reason you're doing really well is because those numbers are actually 313 and 415, right? The other guy that you can point to kind of like that is Paul DeJong. 342 and 403, that's massive.
Yep.
Okay. I mean, what do you really – I mean, another one, God darn, if it was 270 and 360 – you'd be really happy, because what we would assume is that the power and the RBI numbers are going to be there as well.
Oh, so he's on the All-Star game with that.
Sure. And look how well he's doing now. Colton Wong has really come back down to earth. He looks better to me. The at-bats are better. The overall approach at the plate and the at-bats are way better. The one name that I keep coming back to, though, that you can't take out of this lineup is Jose Martinez.
Yeah. Yep.
Can't do it. I'm sorry. There is you can platoon Bader and Fowler in center field. You cannot take Jose Martinez out of this lineup. You can't.
Nope. And I'll sacrifice defense every day of the week for the best lineup I could put out there.
You know what is amazing? Remember when we got Marcell Ozuna? And I remember the thought process being, what are we doing? Like, if we're going to move Dex, move him to left and put Marcell Ozuna in right.
Yeah.
And now we see why that's not possible. But it's like, oh, man.
I mean, this team doesn't have a right fielder.
No, like,
they
don't.
They have three left fielders and a center fielder.
Yes.
They have three left fielders and a center fielder.
Right.
They don't have a right fielder at all. None of them are. And the hilarious part is like, they have three bad left fielders and a great center fielder.
Right.
Like that's what they've got to work with. So when you look at that, to play your best offense is the best strategy, in my opinion, because you're not the uptick of putting Bader out there in terms of defensive, like, whatever, you know, like, just roll out the best lineup that's hitting right now. And if Bader's hitting better than Dex, then put Bader out there. But the three best hitters need to play in the outfield, period.
Are you, before I let you get out of here, and I know this is, I mean, you've basically stated your piece on Carp, and now we're kind of touching on some of the positive stuff and some of the great things that are going on. Your overall thoughts on Marcell?
I mean, it's amazing to see, like, it sucks in a way because he's going to cost more now. Like, if he keeps this up, and you know what I mean? If he does 2016 all over again, you know, that's going to suck, because, you know, I worry about losing him, and I don't want to, but, you know, he may price himself out of where the Cardinals want to be, and you could have maybe signed him this year, but with the year he had last year and the shoulder, like, it's great. I love it. You know, it's unfortunate that he's a free agent to be, if this is what he's going to be over the next couple of years. But man, he can hit. When he is right, that guy can hit, and I don't care about defense. You know, the other good thing I want to give credit to the team for, and it may back off a bit because it seems a bit unsustainable, man, do they have an ability to come from behind. Like, these two games in Washington, you know, especially against Corbin, like, and the ones in Pittsburgh where they never even had a lead until extra innings, like, that speaks volumes to Schilt, I think. I mean, some of it could be some luck. Like I said, it could back off. They could end up losing some games they had leads in, but, you know, that just speaks to the preparation and the determination coming from from leadership, I think, you know, and that's all anecdotal nonsense. I get it, but it just feels like the team has a little bit more fight under Schilt than they did under Matheny.
Yeah, it's amazing. Like I said, you know, people want to compare things, right? They want to compare things. Things to me, like everything's different, right? Like there's just, things are just different and things will always be different. I mean, the Marcelo Zuna thing to me, like if you know baseball at all, if you watch it, if you really understand the swing and things like that, his swing way more he's a free swinger, right? And it's a violent swing and it gets long, but it's way more under control. That, like, I don't know if he's guessing less. I don't know if he's paying more attention to scouting reports. I don't know. He's still really susceptible to the slider out away. But here's the thing. 99% of the players in the league are susceptible to the slider away. You've got very few guys that have the ability to recognize it early. I've pointed out guys like Mookie Betts and Mike Trout. Just when they take at bats, they're just different when you watch them, right? Like, they seem to be able to recognize. There's other guys as well, but those guys especially just come, like, from watching numerous at bats of theirs, I just find it unbelievable the pitches that they don't swing at. Now, they're not perfect. I'm just talking about on the whole. So while he is susceptible to that, I think what happens is, and I had a great conversation with Benji Molina the other day and a friend of mine who had met him for the first time, and he asked him, you know, who was the best player you ever played with? And he said, you know, I know people aren't going to like this, but Barry Bonds. It wasn't even close.
Yep.
And he said, he goes, the thing was, and you can talk about all the other stuff, whatever you want to talk about, but the thing was, I watched him, batted behind him. I watched him. He goes, typically we like to believe in the big leagues that you're going to get one pitch per at bat to hit. Now, when you get more than one pitch of hitting in a bat, that's a bad sequence by the pitcher. Okay? Sometimes you don't get a pitch to hit at all. Barry Bonds was lucky to see one every 2 or 3 days.
Yep.
And the thing that was unbelievable is he didn't miss it.
Yep.
Marcell Ozuna seems to this year not be missing those hittable pitches. It seems like every time they leave one over the plate, he doesn't miss it. Now, we talk about batted ball luck. We talk about things like that. I don't know how much all that plays into it, and I couldn't tell you. But what I will say is, by the eye, that seems to be what is different for me about Marcell Ozuna this year. I saw him in situations last year with runners in scoring position and things like that. And again, he wasn't awful last year, but he could have had a much better season, because I remember numerous circumstances where this year he's coming through and last year he didn't. And a lot of it was he was missing pitches, and then he was susceptible to that slider. Right now, when they throw anything near the plate, he's not missing it.
No.
So, no. And amazing to me.
It's really, he's a lot of fun. Like, he's a fun player to watch, especially when he's feeling good. Like, you can just see him. He's one of those guys that really carries himself when he's feeling good. And, man, could this team have 330 home run hitters this year?
Who's the third? Perfect.
Goldschmidt.
Oh, you got DeYoung hitting 30.
I mean,
yeah, I guess he could. Yeah.
Man, are they gonna? I mean, we haven't had one since what, Holiday or Albert?
Did Holiday hit 30?
Well, no, Carpenter. Carpenter did last.
Carpenter. Year. I don't think Holiday ever hit 30. Did he?
Yeah, I think Carpenter was the first one last year since Albert left. And I don't think anyone's driven in 100 runs since Holiday 2012. And you could have three guys do it if they keep this up.
Huh.
Like, this offense, to me, this offense is as fun as it's ever been since 2004. To watch these guys, to know that, you know, 1 through 4 could just destroy a pitcher. I haven't seen the Cardinals have this potent of an offense in terms of threat since 2004.
Well, I will say this. There is a different feel. They've had a couple of games where they've started out and they went through the lineup once, made one at whatever.
Oh, God, and people panic so bad on Twitter. Oh,
you know,
God,
they get into the third inning, fourth inning, they're not doing much, and then all of a sudden it's an eruption. And it's like, it's pretty good. Like I said, it's been an amazing thing. If you're a Cardinal fan and And I thought Benji said it really well on the show yesterday. And, you know, he gets a little more passionate about it than I do. I always say fan how you want to fan. I don't really care. And it's because there's a part of me that's like, look, I don't, whatever. Like he said yesterday, if you're bitching right now, you're not a fan. And I'm kind of tending to agree with him, because here's the thing. If you're bitching right now, you are never going to be happy.
No.
Never. And if you're bitching right now, you are the type of person that just bitches to bitch. Like, yeah, it's who you are. And that's and see, that's where I'm a little bit different. I'm like, I would say to somebody that was like, you know, there's a guy that likes to get on our posts all the time and say, it's all that. And I want to say to him, and I just don't, look, you're a complainer. That's what you are. You want to complain. You can't be happy. There's nothing that's going to make you happy. Nothing. Nothing.
You know, like, if you're not having fun now, when are you ever going to have fun as a fan?
You know, I mean, I always say this. It reminds me of a guy that wins the lottery and complains about paying taxes.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So,
yep.
Anyway, well, listen, man, I had to give you some props. I'll be curious to hear what Brendan Schaefer has to say when I ask him if you're the smartest guy on the planet. And we'll go from there. But I tell you what, man, not a lot of people can take it away from you, because you did say it, and it has proven to this point to be pretty accurate.
They're a good team. They're going to, I think, I don't, you know, I had some fun on Twitter the other day, toot my own horn, but I didn't like the way that they were scheduled to start the season. And, you know, with any sport, a lot of times you see it in, like, the NFL, those first 4 or 5 weeks, people want to make decisions on teams and make, you know, this is what they are. And they don't realize that, you know, that schedule is kind of weird, kind of goofy. Let them get some other games under their belt and see what happens. So I always try to wait until Memorial Day to make any definitive decisions on teams. But I think the Cardinals are pretty good this year if they stay healthy.
Well, where can our listeners keep up with you and your thoughts?
On Facebook at Moe's Algorithm, and on Twitter at MOZ_algorithm.
Well, that's good stuff, my man. And I appreciate you and everything that you contribute to the show. I hope next week we're still rolling right along. We got great stuff to talk about. So I look forward to our conversation, and take care of yourself.
All right. You too, Jim.
All right. That is the one, the only Moe's Algorithm. Love our chats. I do not mind admitting when he's right. Like I said, I think he brings a complete different take than I do on certain things. And I feel like I learn something from him every day. So I appreciate his input. I appreciate his contributions. And I know you guys do as well, as it typically brings out a totally another faction of the Cardinal fan base. So he does a great job, and I appreciate him very much. Going to go over now to my good friend Brendan Schaefer. I enjoy his takes as well. He gives an honest thought on his opinion on the Cardinals. Can't thank our partners, Gators Baseball Academy, home of the Missouri Gators, Illinois Gators, and the Gators Baseball Academy. Can't give them enough appreciation for their support of our show. Folks, if you have a young one that's involved in this wonderful game of baseball and you want them to get some really top-level training, if you want them to get some mentorship when it comes to not just being a good baseball player, but, you know, growing up to understand those life lessons that come with the game, these guys do a tremendous job of it. Like I said, they are located in Missouri. They're expanding in Illinois. To learn more about that, just go to GatorsBaseballAcademy.com, or you can reach out to me, as I'll be involved in that over here. You can reach out to me directly. Happy to answer any questions you may have. The Gators Baseball Academy, for all those prep players that are just trying to, heck, for some of them, they're just trying to make their high school team. Some of them are trying to play in high school. Some of them want to play beyond high school. If those are your dreams, your hopes, your aspirations, give us an opportunity to help you get where you want to go. That's GatorsBaseballAcademy.com. And, of course, around this time of day, when we record this, is always sometime pretty close to lunch. Can never do the show without thinking about our good friends at Adam's Smokehouse, home of the best barbecue in St. Louis, folks. Located on Watson Road, open till 7 on Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays. They do box lunch orders for large office settings or parties or whatever you may need. Catering is a specialty of theirs as well. They do deliver to certain zip codes, but folks, I got to tell you, the most important thing is just get over there and try the barbecue. You guys are going to love it. The staff is awesome. They do a great job. Mike is a tremendous owner that takes care of his people. He takes care of his customers, and I can promise you, you're going to have a great experience at Adam's Smokehouse. St. Louis, here's your cue. Speaking of cues, it's time now to bring in the one, the only, Brendan Schaefer. What do you say, Brendan?
Hey, how we doing today, Jim?
Well, man, I got to tell you, You know, when you listen back to this, you're going to hear me throw some real praise on our boy Moe's Algorithm. He did say a couple weeks ago, let's get out of Milwaukee. Let's get out of Mexico. Okay, let's get into real parks, real baseball. Let the pitchers settle down a little bit, and I think we're going to be fine. I mean, I started to call the show as Mo's algorithm, the smartest guy on the planet, but I just couldn't do it. So I thought we'd address Matt Carpenter because he really seems to be the only guy not clicking right now. That being said, amazing stuff. And I'm impressed. I'm happy. Your general thoughts.
Yeah, I think this is kind of, I don't know if I expected to be this good, quite this good, quite this fast. But yeah, my position all along in past weeks on the show has been that some of that Milwaukee stuff, a little fluky, ran into a hot team. Definitely Milwaukee's a team to keep an eye on down the road. But we saw the Cardinals through the first couple of weeks just, you know, at the very worst, treading water. And at some of its best, starting to show signs of a team that's going to be pretty darn competitive. And it's only gotten better since then. I think the bullpen has been the thing that's been most impressive about this team because you pretty much have been able to count on at least one decent inning of a crooked number. Within the last two wins the Cardinals have had, they've really done all their damage in one inning and in one game more so than the other. But the thing about it is it hasn't mattered because the starting pitching has done just enough, and then the bullpen has just been absolutely stupendous, locking things down. And the thing that's most incredible about that is we thought, you know, the Cardinals might use Carlos Martinez in the bullpen. Maybe Alex Reyes would be a weapon out there as well. We had our own opinions on whether or not that was a good idea, bad idea, and certainly certain other circumstances, as we've seen throughout the start of the season, have dictated the direction of some of those things. But we haven't even necessarily gotten the bullpen to the best point that it's going to be with its full reinforcement. And as it stands now, it is pretty darn impressive. So if that kind of performance continues and you just get solid, you know, quality start machines out of your starting pitching, it doesn't have to be guys going out there and throwing complete game shutouts. And then the offense, the lineup continues to just, you know, do just enough. And then some days they really blow you away and they do more than just enough. Things are clicking really well for the Cardinals right now, and it's been fun to watch.
Yeah, you know, you look at it, it's been fun because I think you touched on a couple of these things. And if you start naming names, which I think is okay, you know, you're getting stuff out of guys that you weren't sure about and maybe not getting exactly what you had hoped out of other guys. So, like, you know, if I was to look at them all, like, nobody thought Adam Wainwright would do what he's done, right? Nobody. But yet we thought Miles Michaelis was a Cy Young candidate, right? You know, listen, the whole John Gant thing is amazing. Whereas Andrew Miller hasn't been as good as we thought he would be at this juncture. Now, can they get it together? I would assume they can. Brebbia's been good. Leon was good early, so that helped. Like, right, like when things were, we were figuring it out, I thought Leon did a good job early. Hicks has been good, really good, except for I think maybe the one outing. You know, so when it comes to the, you know, Michael Wacha has just been good enough, right? Flaherty is kind of showing, hey, I'm coming back here. So, yeah, I think you're onto something. I mean, even Dakota Hudson, they've had some guys that have been just good enough. Now, as far as great goes, well, again, let's see where we are again in another month or two, right? That being said, when you look at the lineup, there are some things that make me pause, both on the good and the bad side, right? Like, you can't, like, I talked to Mose about this earlier. You know, what goes up must come down. Some guys are outperforming what you would believe would be who they're going to be. But we also have some guys that are underperforming a little bit. Look at Colton Wong. Look how hot he started. Now look where he is. I know everybody still thinks he's, you know, he's down in a more realistic range. Well, you know, when he was hitting 400 and something, somebody, you know, Paul Goldschmidt was not hitting. Yadier Molina was not hitting. And now that those guys are doing, you know, so there's a real team thing here. But we all know, and I think we've all talked about the importance of Matt Carpenter because of the leadoff situation. What's your take on him so far? Because I got to tell you, I had my own take, and Mo's algorithm, really looking at the numbers, and he's not concerned at all. He thinks it's going to be just like last year and it's going to even itself out. But I still don't like the whole month of just not much, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, it's not your favorite thing in the world to see, especially a guy that you want to be setting the table for other guys. But for me, because the offense is doing just fine, and would we be saying the offense is doing just fine if yesterday the bullpen had coughed it up, or the starting pitching hadn't been as good as it was? You know, maybe we'd be complaining more about the offense. But because things are going well, it's not really gonna catch as much heat as Matt Carpenter otherwise would if the team wasn't winning. As far as like whether I'm concerned, no, I'm not. He's off to a better start than he was last April, which was terrible for him. And so hopefully he does what he typically does and figures it out. I'm not in a sense of needing to worry about it at all at this point in time. You know, the on-base percentage is still much higher than the batting average. You'd like to see him make more contact, I think, is the main concern with Carpenter, especially out of that leadoff spot. But, you know, he still sees pitches. He got on base with a walk yesterday. I think his time is going to come, and I'm not super concerned about it, to the extent that I probably wouldn't even worry about, you know, moving him around in a lineup. You could if you wanted to. I wouldn't be fundamentally opposed to it. You mentioned Colton Wong has gotten a couple of chances at leadoff when Carpenter has sat out, but he's not necessarily, you know, lighting the world on fire anymore. Had a nice day yesterday. But you could go ahead and put him in leadoff if you really wanted to. But as far as Carpenter goes, I think, you know, the veteran presence has proven time and time again what he's going to be able to give you. I've long been one for wanting to see him get more run in the two hole, especially when he's hitting well. I feel like the leadoff thing has always been, you know, kind of a self-fulfilling prophecy, because by the time he figures it out and finds himself within a season, it's like he naturally gets moved back to the leadoff spot, and that's now we think that's the only spot that he can hit. So I've always liked the idea of him batting second, but I think Goldschmidt's done a fine job so far this season. You know, his numbers aren't maybe vintage Goldschmidt, but they're pretty good. And with what Paul DeJong has done, I'm not in a spot to want to move him anywhere, you know, give him any different look. And we've got to give credit where credit is due to Marcell Ozuna, because there were times early in the season where we talked about him, and he was a travesty that you wanted to see getting some days off, and has since been one of the hottest hitters in baseball. So as far as moving around the lineup, I think I would kind of keep it the same for now. And if they start losing some games, then I'm perfectly fine with shifting things around a little bit. But yeah, you've got to be really pleased with some of the players that were not even necessarily question marks, but you said, if this guy doesn't thrive — we said that a lot about Paul DeJong — if this guy does not thrive, it's going to be a problem for the team because of the maybe lack of depth at the spot. DeJong's done really well, you know, been the best hitter on the team. Even Harrison Bader with an OPS up over 800 now, and we've seen what Dexter Fowler's been able to do, really impressive in a bounce-back season. So because of what everybody else is doing, that's kind of the frame within which I can say I'm not worried about Matt Carpenter, because the team's winning, and we know that he's gone through slumps like this in the past, and I think there are signs there. You know, the plate discipline's still there, to the extent that I'm not going to worry about him. No, I think Carpenter's going to be just fine.
Yeah, listen, if that's your biggest problem right now, I think we're going to be okay. Like I said, some of the other things that have really been amazing. The Colton Wong thing too. I've watched him, to be honest with you, like make some outs in good at bats, which was never the case. Like, I've seen him go the other way and make outs, and while of course you want to get a hit, I mean, those are at bats that lead to positive things. You know, not near as many swings and misses on what I would call hittable pitches, because we're overswinging or we're guessing or whatever. I mean, you can call it whatever you want. But for me, like I said, I think the big thing and across the board has been the whole team feeling here. So, you know, we have to be honest with ourselves. We're not going to complain like you and I, like other people will, but we're not going to complain that much about it right now because things are going well. I mean, that's just the nature of this beast, I guess, because let's face it, if we weren't where we were at in the standings, if we weren't winning as many games, it'd be an issue. It just would.
Yeah, and you brought up Colton Wong, too. Like, his batting average was up above, you know, talk about near 400, above 350 for a while. And then he went on a real slump, leveled out down to 250. Now he's up to 270-something. I think with Wong, what you're going to find is that he'll have some of those slumps, and even there have been a couple balls defensively that he's made a couple of errors. I know the one last night was a pretty wicked hot, but you put yourself into that position by maybe playing back a little bit further. You'd like to see him a little more aggressive. But overall, I've been satisfied with what he's done defensively. Has made plenty of the tough plays. And he showed last night at the plate what he can bring, you know, bunting in a situation where you're not going to, as a defense, expect a bunt. But that's exactly the reason that it worked out. And it's one of the main things that led to a win for the Cardinals yesterday. So I'm real satisfied with what I'm seeing from Wong, and still going to continue to expect that while there's going to be some ups and downs, as every player is going to have, I think he's in a pretty good spot. And you can go up and down this lineup, and I think it's fair to say that Carpenter, Molina had the hitting streak that was snapped. The overall numbers aren't that good for him. The batting average is fine, but not taking very many walks. He never really does. And not a heck of a lot of power, but from the catching position, I don't think anybody's going to complain about what Molina's given you so far, especially the last few weeks. But other than that, Carpenter's the only guy in that starting lineup that hasn't begun clicking. And so, yeah, it's just not a concern right now for me, because the team is playing as really one of the best teams in baseball. So I think it's good. I think, you know, Carpenter probably going to come around. Another thing I think you got to consider, when a guy like Carpenter is slumping because he bats leadoff and he's batting five times a game or more in most cases, the stats are going to drop more rapidly than they would for some other guys at the bottom of the lineup. While the numbers don't look good right now, it's not something to be worried about, if you ask me.
Yeah, that's the whole thing. I think you bring up the best point of it all. Is it worth complaining about at this juncture? Probably not. I like this team. It's got a good, like, I'm not Nostradamus. I can't predict the future, but it's got a good feel to me. The producing later in games, the feel of in the past where, you know, and we've talked about this, where you come out in the first three innings, you know, you nothing's going on at the plate, and it just feels like, oh boy. It doesn't feel that way now. It really feels like they're going to come around here in the next inning or two. They're going to get to him. And they talk about that in their post-game stuff, trying to be relentless at the plate, you know, trying to piece something together. And boy, that's been the neat thing for me, is like, you know, you get a big hit. Like, seriously, like the whole Colton Wong thing yesterday, the bunt, as cool as that was, the best part of the whole deal is then Harrison Bader comes up, who, you know, we've talked about, you know, he does a lot better against left-handed pitching and dot, 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 right? But he just comes up and just competes in an at-bat and gets a big hit. And it's like, the other day, the six straight hits, just relentless attack. And that's what feels different to me as a Cardinal fan. Now, yeah, I mean, is it going to be like this every game all year long? Well, of course not. The game's too damn hard for it to be that way. But, boy, it sure looks and feels good right now, to be honest.
Well, yeah, and you talk about that Bader hit. Like, okay, they go up 3-2, but how often in the past have you said, okay, gosh, I mean, it's great that the team's gone up 3-2, but there's still some time left for the other team to go ahead and come back against a bullpen. Who exactly is it going to be? Like, last night, Jordan Hicks was not available. And so in the past, when you say, okay, we feel like we've got one closer, like for a while last year, Bud Norris was that guy. We're like, okay, well, Norris is out there. You know, he can probably give you what you need. And last night they had to get, you know, a little bit creative without Hicks, who's been the de facto guy at the ninth inning. And, you know, at times would have probably come in for the latter half of the eighth inning if you felt like you were overextending John Gant. And so then you make that move. But they go with Andrew Miller last night, and he gets the job done. You mentioned the season stats for Miller, ERA of 5.5. It's not what you like to see, but the last few outings or so, he's started to come around. I want to see a little better fastball command from him than we saw last night, but the slider was excellent. And so if you've got Andrew Miller even close to what you consider to be vintage Andrew Miller, and you've got Jordan Hicks been lights out as far as I'm concerned, and Gant and Brebbia have been even better than those two, like, that's four guys before you even consider adding a guy like Carlos Martinez into the mix in June or July, that you feel great about being able to give you the levered spots within a game. And even the guy like Gallegos has come in and been, you know, fine, been as average as you can hope to get from a guy in your middle innings. So I think the real difference, and I mentioned at the beginning, if the bullpen continues what it's doing, you're gonna get a different sense within a game when the Cardinals do what they did last night and come from behind. But now it's a tenuous lead, but really not anymore. One run might be enough in a lot of these cases, and I think that's what can make the difference from teams of the past. That you know what, the offense doesn't have to feel that burden every single day, because if they can just do enough, and there are going to be the days when they go get you 7 or 8 runs and you walk home to a victory, but if they can get you just enough like they did yesterday, the margin is going to be a lot greater for these Cardinals to find wins where they wouldn't have been able to in the past.
Well, I'm excited about just seeing, you know, how this progresses, where it goes. I think there's room for improvement for a few players. I think there's obvious, not room, like you're happy about it, but there's obvious regression going to happen for a couple of players. So to be where we're at right now and feeling like we're playing well, feeling like we can win the division, which I think we all agree is the important thing, for me in the end, is the most important thing. So glad we had a chance to chat today. I guess we'll see. I always say, I'm going to give it a couple. I always take a look at the team after a month and see how I feel. It's basically been that. And I got to tell you, I couldn't be happier with where we were at. And then I always say that you get a real feel for where you think this season might really go after 2 months. We'll see, because, to your point, I thought you brought up a great point earlier. A couple of names that we really felt like were going to be a big part of our success this year have been non-factors, and that's Alex Reyes and Carlos Martinez. Now, what their role will be and what contribution they will give to this team remains to be seen, if any at all, right? Like, we have to be honest and realistic. But, man, I got to tell you, it feels really good to know that I know people like to make fun of non-trades and then, it's like a trade. Well, this is kind of like a trade in this instance. Here you sit, and what your top prospect, who admittedly has had some issues, on the field. I don't care about the on field, just hasn't done it right, and needs to probably overcome a mental issue towards the game right now. And your ace, whether you bring him back in the starting rotation or the bullpen, you would have to imagine at that talent level, that is, when you're in first place, sitting atop almost the whole dang league, that is absolutely like a trade. 100%. So,
yeah, and right now you don't even have to, you're not in a position of desperation to need those guys.
Correct.
Because what's interesting is, I think of the two, I don't even like to talk about it, because it's, you're going to get, well, here's the facts of it, and we don't really know, but some people might. And, with Carlos Martinez, I don't even want to bother speculating anymore why he can't be a starting pitcher, why you can't go ahead and say the team's in first place. We know he's valuable as a starter. I don't care if it takes till August. We'll go ahead and get him ready, strengthen up as a starter. If it's just not gonna work for him or whatever, you overpaid him in his contract, but whatever, he'll still be an asset in the bullpen. I just don't even want to spend any energy on it at this point in time. But Alex Reyes is the other guy that I think is more likely to potentially join you in the starting rotation come July, August, if you find yourself in a pinch and needing somebody, because while the punch in the wall thing isn't great, it kind of is going to put that artificial cap on his innings and his workload this season, because he's going to be, by midseason ready to start ramping up and then say, well, he could throw 100 innings from now till the end, and that might not be the end of the world, and he probably can handle it. So from that perspective, it's kind of interesting that of the two, maybe Reyes is more likely to be in a rotation role late season. That's just speculation. We'll have to wait and see how everything unfolds for both those guys. But yeah, because you're not in a spot where you're desperate for them, you can take as much time as you need and say, let's make sure that when we do bring them back, they're in the best mental state, the best physical state that they can both be. And yeah, gosh dang it, if it's a trade deadline, even before we see either of those guys, but the Cardinals are still kind of in general showing the kind of play on the field that we've seen through the first month or so, you're going to be in a really good spot to add something like that to the mix. So, I think it's too early to say, yep, this is the World Series team that the Cardinals fans have been waiting for a while. But there are a lot of signs to this right now that are pointing in the right direction.
Yeah, I'm excited. I guess we'll have to see how the whole thing plays out across 162 games, of course. But, I couldn't be happier right now, to be honest with you. I have no complaints. Do I have questions? Of course, we all do. you know, like I said, you know, it's more of a, what do we got to do to get Matt Carpenter to be Matt Carpenter? You know, what are the little tweaks that Paul Goldschmidt may make to get him back up to hitting near 300 where we typically see him hit? You know, can Paul DeJong be this good? You know, has Colton Wong really turned the corner with his approach at the plate? Those are the things. The number one thing for me is, and the question, if I had to ask anybody one question, I would look at anybody over there at Busch Stadium and say, how in the world can you ever take Jose Martinez out of the lineup? That would be the only question I have right now. That guy would play. He just wouldn't sit. He'd play every day. I don't care.
All he does is hit, Jim. All he does is hit.
I made
a little t-shirt with that saying on there too, because I was just like, it's a phenomenon, and it's just mind boggling that nobody gave this guy a chance. Cardinals, I know we talked a lot about trading him last year because of the defensive stuff, whatever. There's not a chance that I would get rid of this guy. I would even, as you said, take him out of the lineup. He is just so fun to watch with a bat in his hand. He just puts the ball in play. He puts the ball in play hard. And there are going to come times this season when the Cardinals are going to slump as a lineup, and it's going to happen for multiple days. But that guy's got the potential to be a slump buster, because he's going to put the ball in play, and the balls are eventually going to find holes during those times. And I just had to chime in with you. I understand you've got a better defender in Bader who's hitting as well. Dexter Fowler's been fantastic, but you've got to play Jose the majority of the games at this point in time.
For sure. And I've heard Mike Schilt say, and all coaches say this in this instance, it's a good problem to have. Well, it sucks if you're the guy that's got to make the decision. But the truth of the matter is, it is, for a fan, it is a good problem to have, because that means people are rolling and they're working on all cylinders. I got to tell you, we'll just see how it plays out. I think Mike Schilt's doing a good job. I think, I think the team is doing well. Let's just see how it plays out. But that guy's not coming out of my lineup, I can promise you that. And you're right. We talked about, should we trade him? Should we not trade him? It's always been about the defense. It's never been about the bat. But you know what's funny? I say it all the time. You've got some work to do, you and Kyle, because I had to throw my props to Mo's algorithm for stepping out on a ledge a couple weeks ago when people were wondering and saying, look, here's what's going to happen. Calm down, right? So Benji Molina has been saying for over a year, you can't trade Jose Martinez. Guys, I'm telling you, you can't trade him. You cannot trade him. And I know everybody wanted to trade him, so I got to throw some props to Benji Molina. So you, me, and Kyle, we got to step up our game. We got to stick it out there and put it out on a ledge. So we got to come up with something good, all right?
Yeah, but you go ahead and look back at my Wainwright takes and my takes.
Yeah, wait a minute. Season.
I'm not gonna sit idly by on that one.
Wait a minute. You know what? I forgot. You're right. You have been an Adam Wainwright proponent. Are you like, even if you're a proponent and you believe in Adam Wainwright, are you even, I'm not going to say shocked, but or did you think he was going to be as good as he's been? Oh, for the most part, he had a rough outing or two.
I think I predicted maybe an ERA in the high threes, around four. But what he does is he'll have some outings that are rougher, and he'll have to gut through four or five innings and give up four or five runs. But he's going to give you a bunch of quality starts. He's given you four out of six so far. I think that's a rate that he's going to be able to more or less continue if he stays healthy. That's kind of, well, he's maybe been a little better than I thought he would be, but no, I said I wasn't going to let him. He wasn't going to fool me again. There's going to be no surprise for me if he succeeds. I'm going to go down with the ship if it goes down, and it hasn't.
All right, so what? You're right. Me and Kyle got to step up our game. I'll have to have a talk with him. He's on jury duty, so he's off this week. So we'll have to. He and I'll have to have a talk, because I think you're right. I do remember all that now. So yes, good call. Because let me tell you, he had a lot of doubters. A lot of doubters. And you know, there's two kinds of doubters. There's been people that have been doubters, but then there's people that have really appreciated him. They just think, you know, it's time. So, you know, there's all kinds of difference, but you know what? It's guys like that that feed off that, and they come out and they give you. But let me tell you, if he was the starting pitcher that we would have said was going to be the guy to go out there and give our bullpen a break, I don't think most people would have believed that for sure. So,
yeah, man, going seven innings is a big deal for him, especially the fact that he was batting that late in the game. And that I even kind of looked at that a little sideways, saying, is he really going to bat and go out for another inning? But I'll be darned if he didn't do that and then go out and shut him down one more time. So really, you got to love what he's been doing.
Well, you know, listen, good for him, good for all of them. It's a great atmosphere over there. For all of our listeners, Brendan, where can they follow you and check out your work?
Yeah, you can follow me on Twitter at BSchaefer12. And I'm actually in pretty deep into hockey mode right now because
well, everybody is
down in Texas.
Everybody
but
is.
I'm actually, I was there at the last game. I'll be heading to Dallas after I get off the phone with you to cover things tonight. So you get a little more hockey tweets from me today than you would maybe most days. But certainly the baseball will come after the Blues get finished with their lengthy playoff run. And you can follow me on Twitter, of course, there. And it's at KMOB.com and the Baseball STL app where you can read my stories.
Well, good stuff as always, my friend. I look forward to next week. And I guess let's go Blues, right? I mean, you're in that mode a little bit right now. So we got to say let's go Blues.
Hey, man,
let's
go. It's going to be a couple-hour drive, but I'll listen to my podcast or whatever I do and get there. I hate the late start time for the Blues tonight, like 8:30, I think. But that's all right. Big game for the Note.
Yeah, let's go Blues, let's go Birds. I mean, what else is there, right?
Yeah, man, St. Louis sports, it's a good time to be a fan.
It is a good time to be a fan. All right, friend, I'll talk to you next week.
All right, later.
That is Brendan Schaefer, and again, love his takes. Really enjoy doing this with him and all the guys. I hope you guys do as well. Don't forget to check those guys out and give them a follow as they had thrown that out there. So, again, exciting times, folks. He's right. It's a great time to be a St. Louis sports fan. It's also a good time to be a Cardinal fan, just like it's a good time to be a Blues fan. Whatever you want to be what you want to be. And let me tell you, we're all going to have a good time. So, great stuff as always. Thanks for joining us today. One last time, special thanks to our friends at InnovativeCompanies.com, my man Randy Green, residential, commercial, industrial. The heating and cooling team, the construction team, the electric team are ready to take care of any job. No job too big for these guys. They're happy to take on any task. 35 years experience, second generation craftsman. That's Randy Green, InnovativeCompanies.com. As always, we come to you from the Patio Studios, the original party place for St. Louis Cardinal fans everywhere. Make sure you check them out both pre and post game. That's Patio's over in St. Louis, the name you can associate with the St. Louis Cardinals baseball team if you're looking to have great times before and after games, for sure. Or if you're just going over and want to hang out during the games, you don't want to go to the game, watch it in Patio's, all the TVs, great drink specials, everything you need. That's Patio's, folks. GatorsBaseballAcademy.com, the four-pillar system where they care just as much about the person as they do the athlete. Give them an opportunity if you're wanting to try to improve your son or daughter's game. That's the Missouri Gators, the Illinois Gators, and, of course, the Gators Baseball Academy for all the prep players. I'm really impressed with what they're doing. I think you will be as well. Give them an opportunity. GatorsBaseballAcademy.com. If you're looking for good barbecue, folks, don't look any further than our friends at Adam's Smokehouse, located on Watson Road. Open till 7 on Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays. Get your box lunch orders in. You can do catering through those guys, and of course, they do deliver to certain zip codes. I will tell you, if you haven't tried it, you must try it. It is the best barbecue in St. Louis. I love it. I know you will as well. I'd love to hear from you, too, after you try it out and see if I was lying to you. St. Louis, Adam's Smokehouse. St. Louis, here's your cue. I can't say enough about our Facebook families. They mean so much to us and everything that we do. My friend Chris Lawless, who I want to wish a happy birthday to, got a shout out on the Cardinal game last night. He's big time, we know. But his Cardinals Nation, Cardinals 24/7 stuff is a labor of love for him. He does a great job, and we want to thank him for his support. Nate McHenry, RallySquirrel.com, the great club, great Facebook page, as you all know, is just awesome. We're happy to be associated with those guys as well. Great things going on with my friend Ron and his Cards on Deck group. Looking forward to doing more and more stuff with him. Texting him this morning about what we're doing with the Cardinals going forward is exciting for sure. I am a Cardinal fan. Yes, I am. And fans of Yadier Molina, ran by our friends Linda and Vicky. They do it, again, out of love, passion for St. Louis Cardinals baseball. Make sure you check them out. Cardinal Freak, STL Cardinals, St. Louis Cardinals Crew, St. Louis Cardinals Nation, some of the other great ones. No shortage, folks. If you want to talk about Cardinals, it's out there. Do it respectfully, though. I see way too much craziness going on in these groups sometimes. Let's just have a good time with this, folks. Don't forget to check us out, twobirdsonabat.com. Subscribe to the show there. Check out our Two Birds bloggers. Happy to have you guys be a part of our website and get the opportunity to read some great work by some great people. That's our Two Birds bloggers at twobirdsonabat.com. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Birds on a Bat Show. If you're a Cardinal fan, we're going to follow you back. Find us on Facebook. Type in Two Birds on a Bat. Like our Facebook page. Click invite your friends, please. We would love you to invite them all. Make sure when you see our pinned post that you like it, comment on it, and share it. That's another way that we reach so many people. Hit us up on Instagram, Two Birds on a Bat Show. And, of course, we are part of lineupmediagroup.fm, home of Yo Radio, the newest streaming platform. For all Cardinal fans out there, let's go Birds!
This podcast was a presentation of LightUpMedia.fm.